From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. Today we have a great show for you. We are back with Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest. We are happy to have him. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, your host at RGR Football. And Chris Clark is here too, the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. We have some new stuff coming for you. We'll have that in the next couple of weeks before the regular season starts. Today we're lucky to have Matt back. How are you, Matt?
I'm good, Ryan. Good to talk to you guys again.
Yeah. How's everything going at Chiefs Digest?
Doing well. We've got a lot of stuff going on, and traffic's been crazy busy, and have a few things that are going to be happening soon. So hopefully everybody can stay tuned for that, because it's going to be some great stuff that I think everybody's going to enjoy. So yeah, it's been hopping, and the team's been hopping, so there's a lot going on.
Well, folks, if you haven't checked it out, make sure you check out ChiefsDigest.com. That's where all Matt's work is, and there's a ton there. And really, honestly, I don't even know where to begin, because I'll be in town here later this week, but there's so many things that I want to see. And I think it's been so specific about Mahomes for the last couple of weeks. Who's the guy, especially on offense, that's flying under the radar because everyone's so focused on the quarterback?
You know, probably the one that I think has the biggest chance of making an impact. I mean, there's always sleeper guys and everything like that. I think the one that's really under the radar for me, or at least that has a real chance to make an impact, is Damian Williams. Because I think he's going to be the third down back. And he's also going to be somebody who's going to get a lot of, I think, just, you know, time spelling. I mean, he's going to make the team. And maybe at the expense of somebody else. But this is a guy, I think it gives him a new dimension on third downs that they really haven't maybe had in the past. I mean, sure, Kendrick West has been pretty good in that role, but Damian Williams is really good. He's a good blocker. His numbers on third down, you know, out of the backfield as a receiver, everything, are really good. I mean, his entire career. So I think that's a pretty big addition. I mean, you know, they brought him in to really just be some depth and provide some help in case that, you know, they had some injuries because they had questions with Spencer Ware and everything. But I think he's got a chance to make an impact on this team.
When you talk about Damian Williams, I've been impressed with him. I've been impressed with Daryl Williams, and I saw a little bit from Kerwin as well, but Daryl stood out at times as well for me. If you flip it over to the other defensive side of the ball, who stood out to you that is, you know, maybe flying a little bit under the radar?
Again, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily completely under the radar, but I think that, you know, the big thing that's going to make the biggest impact to me is Steven Nelson. You know, this kid's had a great camp, and, you know, and he was kind of in this ballpark last year before the core muscle injury really, you know, zapped his season and everything. But, you know, he just seems like a really different player in so many different ways, and not just, you know, on the field, as a leader, as, you know, somebody who's vocal, you know, personality wise, he really seems to be in a really good space. I mean, he's talked about taking up meditation. I mean, there's a lot of things about his game that's seem like they've changed, and it's not just, you know, that he looks good at corner. I mean, he seems like a different person, and he's very chirpy. He's always been a little chirpy, but
yeah, but nothing been, like this. Sorry,
he's been it's more so, and he's a lot more confident, I think, and at that position at corner, that translates and absolutely translates into the game and on the field.
Yep. Well, and I've been tracking that, and obviously he's in a contract year. That's great. That's more motivation, but. Somebody asked me over the weekend, and I gave my answer, but now I'm not so sure that I agree with it any longer. But when you look at this group of cornerbacks, at least the starting three, although 4 and 5 are going to be utterly important, and I'm not even sure who those are, although I think I have an inkling. Is it, after looking for 2017, is it possible with these three guys that even though none of them are as good as Marcus Peters, although you can argue about Fuller if you want, are they better as a trio than what they had last year? Could this defense, this secondary, be better?
I think it absolutely can. I mean, I don't think that they're done by any stretch of the imagination. And I think that they could be on the lookout for, you know, a veteran corner, whether it's, you know, maybe there's a free agent out there, certainly on the waiver wire. I mean, I think there's still a possibility they may try to bulk up that position. But I've said it for a while now. I mean, I think that collectively those three guys, if they come through, I mean, if David Amerson plays like he can and has, you know, the good David Amerson year and not the train wreck David Amerson year, and if Steven Nelson develops and Kendall Fuller, you know, stays what he was last year, collectively, that group's going to be better. And I think that they fit in with the defense better collectively. So even if they're not as good at that left cornerback position, they're going to be better in the slot. They're going to be better on the right side. And they were so bad at both those spots last year that I think that that more than offsets, you know, whatever drop off they have on the left side without Peters there.
Well, and the other thing that it's, I'm trying to figure out, and I know we, you and I talked about this on Saturday a little bit, is if they do go make a move and try to bring in another veteran corner, at that point, don't you think you almost have to keep six?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, that you could be headed that direction, and you might even be headed that direction anyway, because, you know, Ryan, as you kind of started alluding to, we know who the three starters are going to be, but after that, there's a big drop-off in experience. And I think that their next two guys are going to be Tre'Mond Smith and Arian Springs, and those are two young guys. And I think that they could definitely use another veteran presence there. You know, maybe it's somebody with a little bit more experience, like a Keith Reeser or Will Redmond. Maybe it is somebody that they, you know, pick up in a trade, waiver wire, free agent, whatever it may be. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a distinct possibility they may have to, may try to pick, take six corners there just to have a little bit more of a veteran hand if there is an injury and don't have to, you know, rely on the rookie so hard.
Do the Browns have any good corners that they might be looking to get rid of? Cause it seems like they're shipping their team away.
And hey, there's a relationship there. So, you know, they can get it done.
What did you think? I'm sorry, Ryan, I'm going to interrupt real quick. What have you thought of is it Demontre Wade, I believe?
Yeah, Demontre Wade.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's looked pretty good at times. And once again, I mean, he fits in with the exact same, you know, concept that with Smith and Springs. Press man guy, you know, has really good ball skills. Definitely had a lot of production in college. You know, once again, I mean, he's a, you know, smaller school guy, you know, didn't have the toughest of competition. The scouting report on him was, you know, that there was a little bit of sloppy technique at times. But that's the kind of thing Al Harris is great at cleaning up. And, you know, and he's definitely one, he fits that as far as just having the great speed and good hands. And that fits with what the Chiefs want to do. So he's looked pretty good. I mean, they've had those three rookies running on the second team. And yeah, they've had some rough moments at times, but you know, all three of them have made plays. And Wade's had some, you know, passes defended and had some good breakups in there. You can tell, I mean, he's a step behind the other guys, but I've been impressed.
And Ryan asked me this question. I wasn't sure, so let me just ask you for him. Who is a slot in that, in those three corners? Who plays slot?
Springs does. Springs moves around. Springs moves around quite a bit. I mean, basically, he kind of plays a Kendall Fuller role in the second team.
Okay.
When they're in base 3-4, he's usually on the left side. Smith's over on the right side, and then when they go nickel, Wade comes in on the left side, and Springs moves around to the slot.
Gotcha.
So if we're talking them maybe keeping six DBs, does that mean that there is – I'm sorry, six corners specifically. There's only going to be four safeties then, right? This team cannot afford really to keep more than that, can they?
Yeah, I mean, that's where I think the numbers game really gets interesting because they've got a logjam at safety too. And if you do keep a six corner, you know, you're definitely going to let go of a pretty good safety and somebody that you like. So I think that's going to be one of the toughest decisions they've got. I mean, and if they end up going with just five corners, maybe they can slide one of these guys. I mean, you're thinking of Springs trying to get him onto the practice squad. I think it's going to be dicey because I think there's enough out there for you know, about him right now that I think that people got an eye on him, and we'll see what happens in the preseason games. But I think that's going to be I think it would be tough to get him onto the practice squad.
Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. When you talk about Springs, kind of like what you were saying, what I had been saying to Ryan in the past couple of days is that he really stood out to me and I was really impressed. But I think you're right. I don't think you can fit him on the practice squad. But, you know, you have a log jam at so many different positions for this team this year, which is a great problem to have. I mean, you've got to question how many offensive linemen you're going to keep. Is it going to be eight? Is it going to be nine? You have a question how many wide receivers are you going to keep? You would think it's going to be six because that's what they've done. But, you know, with the way they're playing things, and the one question that I would throw out when it comes to wide receivers is Mac is listed in the program as a tight end, but I never saw him practicing with the tight ends, and he's listed on the depth chart as a wide receiver.
Yeah, they have finally moved him to wide receiver on their depth chart over the weekend and everything, and their position group roster too. So yeah, I mean that's been kind of a misnomer. I mean he's been working with the wide receivers since rookie minicamp, and it's a hybrid kind of a thing. I mean that's the kind of player that he is, and I even talked to him on Sunday, and you know, and said, hey. You know, the name that when I talk to the coaches and people talking about you, I mean, you usually bring up Trey Burton. And he's like, yeah, that's who I get compared to all the time. And, you know, because he's a guy that's going to play a lot of different roles. I mean, he's a tight end from college, but he split out quite a bit in college. So, you know, he can play that. I mean, he can play the tight end role. He can play in the slot. I mean, there's a lot of, I think they're really comfortable, you know, splitting him outside. He can do a lot of things, but at the same time, he's a bit of a tweener. So, I mean, I think there's some interesting things that you can do with a player like that, but he doesn't really fit into a, you know, specific job or role real well.
Does that make it harder or easier to get him onto this roster possibly?
You know, I think it makes it a little bit harder because I think it's difficult to lean on him as a tight end because, you know, he doesn't have as much experience in the block aspect of it. I don't think he's quite got the strength to really do that effectively and consistently. So I don't think you could really count on him in that part of it. And then when you think about just the wide receiver numbers, I think there's a logjam there. I mean, there's a lot of guys. So I think it's tough. Now, is he somebody that maybe you can try and slide onto the practice squad? Maybe. But at the same time, I think that, you know, Andy Reid might be looking at this kid as a guy, the chess piece that he can use and maybe use in some interesting ways. So maybe that does help his chances of making the squad.
That's kind of where I sit on him just because of the matchup problems he can cause. But when you talk about him trying to squeeze on the practice squad, there's another guy in Khalil McKenzie that people are talking about trying to get on the practice squad. And I'm not sure if that can happen, but if they're talking about 10 DBs, probably 10 linebackers, nine. I mean, they can't keep nine linemen. I'm not sure they can keep eight. I mean, are the line groups where they have to cut in order to keep some of these skill players?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, could you be in a position where maybe you're only keeping four defensive linemen? It's possible, especially since I think that they're going to, you know, they're going to play sub packages 70% of the time or more. So, you know, it really starts to get in, you know, how often do you need those extra defense? How often would you need a fifth defensive lineman other than injuries? And, you know, maybe it's just one of those positions you stash on the practice squad.
Real quick, though, don't you think that they could also, although I didn't see it today, but don't you think that Speaks will come down in a pinch to play defensive line?
Oh, they've got a couple of guys that can do that. I mean, they really do. So they've got, and Speaks does give them some flexibility that, you know, he can play multiple roles. So in a pinch, yeah, I mean, absolutely, he could play a defensive end position.
Yeah. So, I mean, that may free up a spot. We talked about this on Saturday. I don't know how they're going to make their roster this year. There are too many different positions that have so much talent that really belong on the roster. And, you know, we haven't even talked about running back, which, you know, you've talked about Damian Williams. Well, obviously Hunt and Ware are going to be there, and I think Williams is the third guy. But you just have to wonder, okay, do they keep a fourth? I can't see how they can if they keep all those other players.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, you start adding up the roster and everything, and I think when we were talking about Saturday, I think when we got done, we had like 56, 57 guys on the roster, and we're like, where do you cut? Because there's some tough decisions, and you know, and maybe they are going to have to go thin because I offensive line, I don't think you can get Khalil McKenzie to the practice squad. So if you think he's a long term prospect and you can use him, I think you got to keep him. I don't think he makes it through waivers. I think if anybody, the Raiders will probably claim him. So, right. You know, I don't think you can do that. But can you get by with eight offensive linemen, knowing that you got one that may be kind of in a red shirt, and then you're just left with a center, and then Cam Irving is your flex guy that can play any position, and then you get another, you know, swing tackle guard kind of guy, and that makes me really curious about with how they've used Parker Anger the last few practices, because, you know, with the injury that they had to with Cam Irving, they did not bring Anger in to play left guard. They left him on the second team where he'd been playing right tackle. And it makes me really curious. Is that a, you know, part of their plan to try and, you know, build some versatility into Anger to where he can be that, you know, swing guy off the bench if they need it?
Which is unfortunate for the investment they have in him in terms of draft capital, but you have a swing guy in Cameron Irving, and maybe he's improving enough to get past. But again, this is a six-headed race for this left guard spot that doesn't leave me feeling particularly optimistic about any of them.
But wasn't Anger only a fifth-round pick 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
It was a fourth, and yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and if that's, you know, hey, if you fourth round pick from, you know, 2-3 years ago is the kind of thing that you miss out on, that's, you know, that you can live with that. But at the same time, I mean, I talk to a lot of people that I trust that say that, you know, that they think that Anger's a good player, and he was clearly one of their best run blockers 2 years ago. So I do think it's curious that he hasn't gotten the call to come in there and play left guard, you know, and right now this job looks like it's Cam Irving's. It looks like that's over, and Irving's going to start, and he's also going to be the backup at any position on the line. So if they have an injury somewhere else, Irving's going to go into that spot, and then somebody's going to come off the bench to play left guard. It looks like it could very well be Anger, but there's a lot to still be decided.
Well, not to sidetrack the whole conversation about O-line, but just quickly on Irving, there's at least one person who's not surprised he's going to end up as a guard. But the way he played in 2017, is there anything in particular that tells you that has shown up and carried over the offseason that's allowing him to do that? Because I think everyone was kind of stuck at where he's best suited and what he can really do. And then in OTAs, he looked good at center. And now what's he learning that's allowing him to revive?
You know, I think there's two things. One is that, you know, he's talked about, you know, finally accepting his role as being a versatile Swiss Army kind of type knife of offensive lineman. And that wasn't the case a year ago. I mean, he was really excited about the trade to Kansas City because he wanted to be a tackle. And it looked like he was really going to get an opportunity because the Chiefs felt that was his best position and they were going to, you know, give him that shot. And so he's finally accepted the idea that, hey, I've got value if I can play in multiple positions. And he realized that, I think, you know, hey, maybe playing with Zach Fulton probably certainly helped. And seeing the contract that Fulton got.
Contract.
So yeah. I'm sure that helped. And the other part is that he's lost some weight. I mean, he's leaner. So I think he's being able to move faster. And, you know, so it maybe it's a little bit counterintuitive at times, you know, with the offensive lineman losing weight to get better. But with the way that the Chiefs play, I mean, that's kind of, you know, they do like their offensive lineman to be able to move around. And he is leaner. I mean, he's dropped some weight and everything and does look a little bit quicker in there.
Well, and, you know, like you said, Zach Fulton's contract certainly is going to help anybody's thought processes to being the jack
that
of all trades.
That should motivate anybody.
Yeah, no joke.
Well, this is a good spot. Let's take a quick second, and then I want to know your take on the quarterback. We haven't really caught up since this whole interception thing. So 1 second, folks. We'll be right back. We'll talk about Pat Mahomes.
All right. So what, from what you've seen in camp so far, give us your thoughts on Patrick Mahomes, because he's been up and down, and I think I saw two down days for the most part on the 2 days I saw.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday were interesting. Saturday, I didn't think it was necessarily a terrible day. It was just kind of an average day. Sunday was really rough because it's going to be the worst day of the offense of all of camp. And it's almost unfortunate that it had this fall on a Sunday when there was a lot of people there, because they spent the entire day in third and long and long drives. And third and long it's a brutal practice for the offense every year. I mean, I don't know if you remember this. There was a story last year about Alex Smith only completed half of his passes. It was a terrible practice. Well, it was the third and long day. So, you know, that's what happens. So, yeah, and all the quarterbacks looked pretty bad in third and long. Long drive was kind of, I mean, it's 18 plays in a row that they take, if the offense does and everything like that. And it's kind of situational. It's a lot of goal line stuff or red zone stuff and everything. So and a lot of running, because they're what they're trying to do with that long drive is, you know, run the clock out. So there was a lot of runs, a lot of scrambles. So, you know, it wasn't greatest offensive play of all time. So I think that didn't help. But I'll say this about Patrick Mahomes. I mean, because there's been a lot of focus on the turnovers and everything. But, you know, the one thing I think that's in his credit is that he's looked the part of a starting quarterback. I mean, when you you see him out there. You see the arm strength and everything, but at the same time, I mean, you see a guy that's in charge. You see a guy that's running the offense effectively, and yeah, I mean, you see somebody who's got a lot of room to improve, and you've got an opportunity to get better. I think anybody's expecting him to go out and throw for 4,500 yards and 48 touchdowns. You're probably going to be disappointed, but if you're looking for a guy and seeing a guy that's going to have a decent season and, you know, set the groundwork for the future, I think you're seeing it. I mean, to me, he looks the part of a starting quarterback. And I think that's what the biggest thing that you're looking for from, you know, him at this point in his career.
Well, you heard it from Matt, folks, and I happen to agree. In fact, I think all three of us happen to agree. So that's a good spot for today. I appreciate your time, Matt. It's always great to talk to you, and we look forward to more.
Sounds great, and hope to see you in training camp later.
Yeah, for sure. I will let you know. Folks, thank you. If you happen to be out this weekend, I will be there. Come see me. I'll probably be bugging Matt somewhere over by the press tent. So come say hi. Thank you for listening today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.